space school system a safer way in a growing area and with explosive growth throughout southeastern Wisconsin, from the new development in Foxconn to the growing subdivisions in Walworth County. There's likely to be much debate in future months and future years about how do you accommodate that growth, how do you make things safe and make it possible for people to live and work together and safely get from place to place. My guests today are Greg Trush, Village Trustee for the Village of Williams Bay, and Jen McManamy, an area parent and is in charge of what's known as the Theater Road Pathway Project and pedestrian improvements. And we'll also have some updates on what's going on in this area historically. Since last we visited together, it has been announced that the University of Chicago is pulling out of the Yerkes Observatory. So we'll be talking a bit about that as well, and perhaps other matters as this conversation meanders. So first of all, Greg, let me welcome you back to the program for, I think, your fourth time.
Yeah, nice to be back, Jim.
And we'll talk a little bit about history, perhaps not so much about mastodons this time. And Jen, welcome for the first time.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
You bet. Jen is the chairperson for this project. Let's start out with the history of it. Tell me a little bit about Theater Road, Greg, and how this pertains to really the county and all kinds of communities within southeast Wisconsin.
Theater Road is a busy thoroughfare. People leave Williams Bay and they get on Theater Road to go down to 50 to go shopping in Delavan or even further afield to get to Madison or Wisconsin Dells. So off and on, it's fairly well traveled. But until maybe 20 years ago, it was overwhelmingly farm and rural. And what's been happening the last 20 years is a number of residential subdivisions are being built along Theater. The site directly west of Theater on the north side of 50 has been the site for 20 years of the Williams Bay High School. But 2 years ago, we moved out the elementary school as well. So between the population growth and the presence of the school, the issue has come up whether we have a safe walkway for the residents in that area or coming from the rest of the village to get to the school and just to walk and bicycle, if they choose, up and down Theater Road.
And it's well-traveled not only for residents, but also there's a ton of visitors. For example, each year, music by the lake throughout the summer, so it's not just a school year, matter, but George Williams College has a very well-attended festival that brings thousands at a time through the area and down Theater Road and literally up the hill from there and near the intersection of Theater Road and Wisconsin Highway 57 is the Yerkes Observatory with its thousands of people that come now not only on the weekends as has been traditional, but also through the week. So all this is happening along with a school system combined that also has students from Elkhorn and Walworth and Fontana, Town of Lynn, Delavan. So a lot of people to think about and to care about. Jen, how did you get involved in this project?
Once the school moved, they were looking to do some improvements to Theater Road. It was in talks in school board meetings, village board meetings, and I was following it in the paper. And I saw that the debates were getting heated over the safety of Theater Road. They put in the crosswalk, which is really nice, solved a lot of issues. But then they kept talking about it in the village board meetings, and I saw them... I saw the talks dissolving. I saw them trying to put an end to those debates, so I got involved.
And you're a parent in the area. Do you have kids attending this school?
Yep. I have three kids. They're 10, 7, and 6 in Williams Bay.
All right. So let's set the stage for all the conflict. Greg Trush, Village Trustee, last time I saw you, was when I was attending a meeting wearing my news hat, and you were, I would not say surrounded by opposition, but getting healthy opposition, and it was watching, it was like watching a tennis match where it looked like you were going to lose, but you kept lobbing back these impossible shots that nobody could deflect. What has been the biggest opposition to, I think, the broader goal? And how has it developed? Because originally, I don't think it was about anything specific. I think you just wanted a study done, wasn't it? And right. There was and resistance
we,
to that.
Yeah, and we got the study done. The village paid $5,000 for Baxton and Woodman, which is the firm that we hired to be the village engineers. By the way, I think they do a wonderful job. And they had one of their staffers do this study, who, and I think the gentleman lives in Williams Bay. And he came up with a proposal for a pathway between Route 50 all the way going up to Bailey Estates. I might mention that in the past, when I was involved with issues of school safety 2 to 3 years ago, we were focusing really on safety between between 50 and where Gage is. And at that point, the village stops. Now we're more aware of the fact that Bailey Estates, which is further north along Theater Road, is really growing at an enormous amount. That's where Jen is. At the end of the day, they're going to have 189 units. Those kids, presumably, most of them are going to be going to the Williams Bay School. How do we allow kids to get there safely? And on top of that all, we have an old soccer field, which the village is looking seriously at converting into a park for the enjoyment of all. If you're going to put a park there, you've got to at least allow for the possibility of people to bicycle and walk there safely, and currently we don't have that.
And the soccer field is not adjacent to the school by any means. It's up the lane a bit. Jen, can you portray a little bit what it's like to be in a neighborhood that, like so many in Walworth County and throughout southeast Wisconsin, it started off with great aplomb, then with the economy, all of a sudden things weren't building. It's growing like mushrooms out there, isn't it now?
I grew up in Walworth, so I remember the whole area being fields. I remember when there was one stop sign at the intersection there. When we moved in 7-ish years ago, we were the last house on the block or on my drive, and now we have neighbors everywhere and houses going up, yeah, like crazy. So, and I have reached out to our developer to consider this pathway because it would have to have his involvement also. So.
From a mother's standpoint, you know, there's much in the news about what happened with the shootings down in Florida, but this is a whole other aspect of safety that people don't usually think about. Are you glad that you're involved with it?
I'm glad that I'm getting involved. Most of the time, I'm not sure what I can do as a parent. But I've been doing what I think I can, and talking to people is the biggest thing that helps. As my kids grow up, they want to be more independent, and I feel like driving them a mile to school is wasteful most of the year. So if they can walk themselves or bike themselves and go with their neighbors and friends, it would increase their independence and increase their confidence and help them through the rest of their lives.
And from what I've observed, when I drive down, and Theater is a main thoroughfare and way to get between, I think, arguably the two largest thoroughfares in southern Walworth County, Highway 50 to the north, which links Delavan with Kenosha, and then Highway 67, which goes from north of Elkhorn all the way down to the state line after skirting the western Geneva Lakes communities. With all the growth, with all the land to cover, there's still quite a lot of foot and bike traffic, isn't there?
It's growing, definitely. If you drive along Theater Road, During the week, you'll see the school traffic, and it's increased 5 times since the new elementary school moved in. But there are bikers, there are walkers. We're a big, active community, so it would be nice to enhance that with a pathway.
And what is your role in all this now?
I'm trying to stay involved with the village. I've been kind of a messenger between the school board and the village board, reporting back to what I hear from each meeting, because the school needs to be involved. Also, the school board is on board with the whole plan. So I'm just trying to be an advocate and try to be involved with the community. I'm trying to bring all my friends together, and I'm trying to put out a good message to the rest of the community and people that I haven't met yet about the benefits.
Do you find it tough to be an ambassador to several sides in this, or does everyone take an interest pretty much, good, bad, or indifferent?
I think everyone is entitled to their opinion, and I respect that. I'm learning a lot as I go about town politics that I've never known before. And I'm meeting a lot of people, and I'm getting my hands in a lot of areas that I never have before. So it's good for me, but it's also good for my whole family. And I think it's good all around for our town.
What would you say you've become an instant expert, or at least as someone who's doing a lot of research? What kind of topics or what kind of aspects do you have to learn about really quick to consider this this proposal?
I was a biker, not anything crazy. I did the Lake Geneva Triathlon once. I've been a runner, but I'm just a casual person that walks down the road. I've been doing a lot of research on safety and what happens when a car veers into, you know, where walkers walk, and what speeds it takes to be fatal, things like that. And I've learned that the less emotional I get in village meetings, the better. And when I have straight facts and data alongside, that works to my advantage usually, and they've listened to those things more.
So, Jen McManamy, you're not only a chairperson of the Theater Road Pedestrian Project proposal, but also not only a parent, but an athlete, an active bicyclist. Greg Trush, Village Trustee, I don't recall you being in the Olympics, but you've certainly become the public voice, and at least as far as the political side of things for this.
Yes, I imagine that if the bicycle and pedestrian ride, I would use it. I think the idea is to link this in with the existing Williams Bay bicycle trail that's already along Geneva Street, so that a kid can come down from Bailey Estates and come down to the school area and then get on the bicycle trail along Geneva Street and go down both to the library, the lakefront, and to provide people safe opportunity to walk along there. One statistic that haunts me is the speed limit along Theater Road is 35 miles an hour. The part of Wisconsin transportation statistics say that pedestrians hit at cars going 40 miles an hour, there's an 85% of fatality. So when we're talking about a street with 35 miles an hour, and you know people will creep up a little bit over that, you see why, in my mind, there is a need, if we will, to separate the pedestrian and the bicyclist from the motorists. That's a benefit to the motorists, too. I mean, they don't want to be going down the street and having kids meandering their bicycles in front of them. There's a need, knowing the population growth in the area and that the fact we have both schools out there now, to provide a safe way for the bicyclists and the pedestrians, as well as obviously the motorists. I think it benefits everyone.
The pedestrian project, as it's laid out, how expensive a proposition would it be? And is that part of the opposition that you've received on this?
It is part of the opposition, and that's understandable. The entire plan that the concept engineer has been estimated to be $1.2 million. If we decide to go for a grant, and I believe we should, there's a higher bar that is raised as far as preparing the drawings and stuff to make state approval. but costs could go as much as 1.6. However, if we receive a grant, the ultimate cost of the village would be about $340,000. Now, that's assuming a lot of things. There are less expensive options in there. This is just an original. This is a concept. I'm sure the other trustees are going to have ideas, ways to save costs. Are there ways that we should possibly change the road, the material? We are just starting that. By the way, anything that expensive, even under the $340,000, I'm sympathetic to people that are concerned about costs. The entire village operating budget, money in, money out, is a little bit over $3 million. So right away, that tells you this is something we should go for grants for. We need to identify other players who could throw some money in and realize that this is something that will probably take years to accomplish. That's fine. Those schools, those new subdivisions, they're not going anywhere. I'm just arguing that we have to start the process now.
And it's not like there hasn't been investment already. I mean, what was the total cost of moving and, in effect, creating a whole new large elementary school to go alongside the high school, and how involved the project was that?
Well, I believe, Jen, maybe you can help me, but I think the total cost of the new school was about $18 million or something, and we still have about 18 years that the village taxpayers, as well as the people from the adjoining area that's served by our school district, are going to be paying that. That being the case, the fact that we are buying a new, that we have built a new school there, we should be interested in keeping the area as safe as possible for the residents and all the village residents who want to go over there. In a unique way, that new school is an economic engine for the west end of the village. The fact that there's a new school there with high academic accreditation, families with young kids or about ready to have young kids are going to choose to live in the west end of Williams Bay. So land that was previously taxed at farm value or at open land, now of a sudden is going to be taxed at real estate value. That is all bringing money into the village. But going with that responsibility is to provide a safe route for our pedestrians, our bicyclists. I don't want people to feel, I must drive every day to school. I must drive to the new park if we build it along Theater Row, because it is not safe to bicycle or to walk there. In a village of only 2,600 people, and I know most people here want to keep this as image of a small village, if you want to keep the area of a small village, you have to be able to ensure that people can walk and bicycle. Remember, our residents under 15 cannot drive. I'm sorry. So they've got to bicycle or walk there rather than wait for big sister or mommy to drive you there. Certainly in nice weather, you want to allow people to be able to walk over to their school, to the new park, and just walk up and down Theater. All those subdivisions to connect anywhere, you're probably going to go out on Theater if you live in Bailey Estates or Lakeview Trails to get to the rest of the part of the village. Sure, a lot of people will always drive, but there's, I think it's great to provide access for safe pedestrian walkway and bicycle access.
Jen, that's Greg raises an interesting point that I wouldn't really consider, that with all the people that are going on, all the activities that parents have to do, in this age of the soccer mom, isn't it kind of a relief to know there's ways for your kids to get around that could be safe rather than driving the family car to eight different points across the county?
That's what I'm going for. I know it's a future project. I know it'll take years. But, I mean, if my kids are lifeguards for the Water Safety Patrol and they have to get down to the lake every day, it would be really nice if they could ride their bike there and back in a safe way back home. the road is a little convoluted where there's a side, a wide shoulder on the Williams Bay parts, and then in the town of Delavan parts, it disappears. So I agree.
Hey, Greg, let's paint a visual picture. And it's really the picture I'm looking at. I think there's, it's probably no no surprise that you chose a shot that shows not only the new crossing, but also the side of the road as it currently exists. Why don't you describe what the side of the road looks like now and why some people feel that that may be adequate?
Okay, on the east side of the street, you have until you leave the village north of where Gage is, you have a white line that sets off the last 5 feet of the roadway, and this is on the east side of the street. Recently, we had a trustee come back on the board after being gone for a while, Don Parker, and he remembers that that line was put in there specifically to accommodate bicycle and pedestrian walkway. Recently, in our discussions, some of the other trustees mentioned that they thought it was unsafe for pedestrians and bicyclists to be there out on the road. You're there at your own risk. Well, if that's how we perceive things now, I think there's a need to search for a better solution. Now, I think people are concerned about cost, and that's very legitimate. The other thing is they're wondering if, like, putting a new sidewalk, for example, changes the complexion of the neighborhood. They will argue, well, people knew what they were getting into. They knew they were moving to an area that didn't, for example, have a specific pedestrian pathway or whatever. But I think that whenever a community expands, we always demand more. When Israel Williams came here exactly six generations ago, 180 years ago, what was here, what he inherited from Chief Bigfoot, was some foot pathways, specifically down by the lake, and a lot of burial sites. That was the infrastructure in Williams Bay. But as we have grown, each generation demands more. We are seeing along Theater Road, the west end of the village, in a tremendous transformational stage where you see rapid development in these residential communities directly off of theater. And because of the presence of the highly accredited and new school, you know that a lot of families will be moving in there with kids who like to do outdoor things. But that's true of our older people. We have a lot of folks of all ages who are very athletic and outdoor types. And that's why I think a pedestrian and bicycle pathway definitely works. I can understand the concern about changing the nature of the village appearance out there, but I think we can do that and at the same time accommodate safety. And if you're still in a situation where there is 150 units yet to be built in Bailey Estates, 50 left to go in Lakeview Trails, you know this transformational process is occurring. The municipality has a responsibility of providing safe pedestrian and bicycle pathway, not just motorized traffic. And if you just totally rely on motor traffic, then you're leading to undue congestion where you don't need to have congestion, and you don't want that in a little village either.
This is Jim McClure. You're listening to Community Matters on WGTD. You can hear us as you travel through today, Walworth County, Racine, and Kenosha. We're on 91.1 FM in Kenosha, 101.7 in Elkhorn, 103.3 in Lake Geneva, and the southern part of Walworth County, where a lot of the topics we're talking about are centered. My guests today are Gregory Trush, Village Trustee for Williams Bay, and Jen McManamy, who is the chairperson of the Theater Road Pathway Project. Theater Road connects so many things, sports, residential, the Williams Bay High School and Elementary School complex, and important attraction sites and educational sites like the University of Chicago Yerkes Observatory and George Williams College and its big summer events, Music by the Lake, all of which draw thousands to this area, many of them coming down Theater Road. Greg, in our discussions, you've been making a lot of points about the growing area. Let's talk a little bit about how safety along roads for pedestrians and bicyclists is an important point now, not only in this area, but think about, if you could, kind of tell us how things will progress with Foxconn and that area, which is largely rural right now.
Well, I don't live in, you know, that exact part of the state. It's certainly going to be causing a lot of new residents to be there. It might even spur more need for urban transit where people can maybe come from northernmost Illinois and from the villages and towns to get to work. I don't think we're going to see this problem mirrored here. I mean, no matter how busy Theater Road gets, I don't think we'll ever need a train or a bus to go down Theater Road.
But if you're in the Foxconn area, how much is there going to be needs for pathways at this point? Why are they important for a growing community in that case, which is going to have thousands and thousands of workers getting to work, not to mention some of them locating here?
I think it's always good to provide neighborhood residents with a opportunity to walk and to bicycle. If you're totally rely exclusively on motorized traffic, and we know most of the people going to Foxconn obviously are going to be driving there, but if you allow it exclusively that, you are really setting the stage for undue traffic congestion. And there are programs promoted at both the federal and state level to encourage the option of walking and bicycling where appropriate, and don't exclusively rely only on motor traffic.
Jen, how big a project are we talking here in terms of length, and what exactly would be put in?
I think it's a little over a mile. What's proposed goes from Geneva Street all the way to the there's a gravel access road that goes into Bailey Estates. And really, anywhere along that path would a bike lane, walking, shared path would benefit. I don't think it has to be that long. Bailey Estates goes up until the soccer field, so it can be up to the whole length or parts of it. It can be done in segments over years. That's up to the village.
And the village is one of the several groups that you have to speak to. You mentioned earlier in the program that you have to do a lot of go-between work, almost like a United Nations interpreter. You have to make sure that all sides are represented and in some ways are talking to each other through you. First of all, depict what you're hearing from the school end of things, the parents and administrators.
The school board I talked to them a little bit in the beginning, was in total agreement that there should be safe routes to school. Not exactly for people all the way out in Bailey Estates, because we do have a bus. But even the bus, it takes the kids a mile. My kids did ride the bus. They got car sick. There's a bus available for Bailey Estates anywhere past a mile. But it's much more enjoyable for the kids and for the parents to bike their kids to school, for the kids to walk themselves to school, because it's such a short route for them to get there. The school board has been incredibly supportive. I've talked to the town of Delavan, who takes the stance of whatever Williams Bay decides to do, they'll go along with. The village of Williams Bay board has been really receptive to a lot of residents coming to meetings, and that's how the committee formed, this resident committee formed, from just a group of people in agreement wanting to create change.
Let's talk a little bit about some wider topics you're about to get involved in. What is a regional or statewide effort I noticed that you're going to be involved with coming up and just starting to learn about?
If you're talking about Yerkes, that's something I want to get involved in also.
Well, we'll get to Yerkes, but also there's a Pathways project for, is it for the region or the state? You're going to be attending some kind of seminar?
Yeah, the Wisconsin Bike Federation is a state advocacy group that I've been talking to in emails a lot to just get knowledge and research and try to get sort of a path towards what I can do as a resident to create some sort of pathway in my community. So they've been really helpful for my efforts. They have a summit coming up in May, on May 5th, where they get people together in Madison to talk about advocacy and importance of bike lanes, importance of safety, and what residents can do to help their village to adopt things like that and why it's important for the whole village.
You're pretty involved in a lot of stuff for someone who, you know, probably didn't expect you'd be getting involved in all this, did you?
I didn't expect to. It's definitely out of my comfort zone to continue to do this. It has to always be on top of my mind. I do have kids, so it creates a scattered environment in my brain. But it does get me into getting to know a lot of people. I've gotten into Kishwa Keto things that I didn't plan on getting into, and that goes hand in hand with exercise and getting around the village and a pathway directly towards the lake and Kishwa Keto and environment and public health. It's all wrapped up in one. I'm meeting a bunch of really good people within the community.
And welcome to the world of doing broadcast news, interviews, and full-length public affairs programs as well. We'll get down more to the specifics about what's being proposed at the tail end of the show here. I do want to transition into a couple important things that Jen mentioned, not only the Kishwa Keto Nature Preserve and some major changes that are in store there, but let's talk about the real news of the day in our area, our part of southeastern Wisconsin, and that's the University of Chicago Yerkes Observatory having a whole change, not only in its ownership, but in its direction. Village Trustee Greg Trush, I'm going to have you be the seat-of-the-pants historian on what's happened in the last month. I mean, what happened at Yerkes? What did the University of Chicago say that has everybody concerned about the future?
Well, the University of Chicago came to the village and told us that they would be ceasing operations there. It did not make financial sense for them to continue to do so. For new astronomy, they have an interest in an observatory down at in, I think it was Argentina, might have been Chile, where they are sending astronomers. So while there is an educational benefit certainly to our residents and the people who go to Yerkes, it's not a benefit for University of Chicago. So they want to cease their operations. It's open as to what is going to go there. I think that there are people with connections with educational institutions to see if we could get another educational institute or maybe a consortium of educational institutes to go out there and reuse the building. One interesting thing, unlike 12 years ago, when there was a proposal to do a massive residential development, that is really probably not an option at the current time, at least for the village of Williams Bay, because what has happened because of the building of all the new units along Theater Road, our village engineer has informed us that once all the plotted units are completed along Theater Road, the village will have used up almost all of its available water capacity. So even if somebody came a proposal, the greatest use of this land is to build 180 residential units in a hotel, guess what? We can't sign any agreement like that. We don't have the water. Now, the village will be planning ways to improve their water capacity in future years, simply because you have to do that. But at the current time, we would not be able to approve a large residential development there, even if we wanted to. So I think the onus is on University of Chicago and other educational institutions to find a way to reuse this observatory in a way that promotes continuing education. It's pricey. University of Chicago wants to get out of it. So don't think because of a lot of village meetings we're going to shame them into say, oh, well, we'll keep it open. We need to bring new people to the table. I am not involved in those discussions. I believe that efforts are being made by people who are more in the educational community to promote something like that.
Jen, you brought it up. As far as the Save Yerkes movement, are you involved in that, or just someone who wants to watch very intently as a parent what happens?
I can't not be involved. It's everywhere. It's all over the internet. It's in the newspaper every Wednesday as it comes out. My kids like the summer program. It's Yays, and my 10-year-old has been doing it the last 2 years, and he's really devastated if it were to go away. He's been learning a lot of really unique things and STEM projects with Yerkes. Last year, he wanted to walk there, and he wanted to either walk or ride his bike there and back because it was 4 days of learning, and he hated that I had to take him. So I'm involved. I listened to Dan Kohler, the Yerkes staffer, talk mm-hmm. at the Geneva Lake Museum. Mm-hmm. So I like being involved in it. It's down the road from me, so I'd like to see something be made of it that continues what they've been doing for so long.
Dan was a long-term co-host of our StarQuest series that we did on WGTD, talking about the future, the past, the current state of the Yerkes Observatory. There's so much history there, not only from it being founded in 1895, being put together by many of the Swedish immigrants that moved to this area, but the discoveries that were made there from the nature of our galaxy, which I think Edwin Hubble of space telescope fame made happen. The people that visited, like Albert Einstein, the trips to the moon that were made possible in part by observations that Yerkes astronomers were really literally mapping some of the moon landing sites. And then present day, they had a huge project that just ended with NASA of a aerial observatory, a giant 747 with an infrared telescope made at Yerkes. I have to ask, Greg, one of the things I noticed in the news coverage was that the University of Chicago would be pulling out all its assets, which I assume is more than chalk, blackboards, and engineering grid paper. What the heck is going to happen, or what has been talked about as far as what happens to that giant 40-inch world's largest lens type telescope?
They did touch at that when they came out to the Village Board a couple weeks ago. They intend to leave that in place because they have no place for it anywhere else. So that's why I have high hopes that we can find educational users who might be able to put together some sort of financial package so that it could be allowed to continue operation as an educational institution. Just don't expect University of Chicago to be the driver because they want to put their financial resources elsewhere. So that's where we're at. And again, I'm not involved in those negotiations, but I'm reasonably confident that there are discussions going on to find out some other user who wants to continue to see that that place is used. It's very important to the community, to the area, but not to University of Chicago anymore. So you've got to realize that. So we need to find local institutions who find a value in continuing, hopefully some sort of revenue source, by continuing to operate that as an educational institution. I'm hopeful, but again, I am not directly involved in any of the negotiations.
And I know that part of the history and also the modern operations has included researchers from the colleges and universities out in Kenosha and Racine counties. And perhaps part of the answer lies there from the larger institutions of higher learning. Let's transition from something else that potentially affects the proposal that you and Jen are advocating for a Theater Road pathway, and that's the Kishwaukito Nature Preserve, which is a large area abutting Geneva Lake. And a lot of bicyclists, a lot of foot traffic comes from there and going through this central pathway, Highway 67, that goes at a right angle north-south to east-west through Williams Bay and just past Kishwaukito. Greg, what the heck have we been seeing? It seemed like a small army of trucks and workmen came in. Let's start with that first, because I think a lot of people are wondering, what the heck has been going on that has all this construction going on there?
That question was asked to me by one of my friends who lives on Willoughby a few months ago. He could see the trucks on from the other side of the field that he abuts. Well, the good news is no, there's no large development happening over there. It's basically utility work that is going on in the area.
Now, Jen, transiting back to, and there'll be further improvements we'll be talking about with Harold Freestad that will add to the nature of the park, not just gas lines, but will be environmental improvements as well. In wrapping up, Jen, the Theater Road Pedestrian Project that you've been advocating, what exactly is going to be there if this ends up coming to pass? What will people be seeing along the side of the road there for this mile-long stretch?
Hopefully a shared path, which the DOT requires it to be 10 feet wide most of the way, a shared path big enough for bikes and runners and walkers, dog walkers, strollers, wheelchairs. It has to follow those DOT regulations to be made. It also has to go by those regulations to receive the federal grant, which pays 80% of the cost of the whole thing. So hopefully keeping all the trees along the way, which was a big request from residents at the village board meetings, hopefully keeping all the trees and keeping the landscape how it is, just adding to that 5-foot wide shoulder to make a shared path down Theater Road for bringing out all types of walkers and bikers with confidence.
In the minute or so we have left, Greg Trush, what do you see as the future of this project? Do you think it'll come to pass, or will it be some kind of perhaps compromise or negotiation that will be needed to bring it all about?
Well, there's always a compromise and negotiation, and that's what should occur. But I think the need is so compelling for a safe pathway that I'm very hopeful about the project. I'd like to tie in something with Kishwaukito. What is the appeal of walking through a fairly flat piece of prairie land by a small creek? Isn't this something that people would have done before 1900, before we have roadways and going to shows? Well, the answer is more people enjoy going back to nature than you think if you give them the opportunity. I think if we provide people with a way to bicycle and walk along the western end of our village, if you provide them with that opportunity, I think there's a lot of people of all ages who would use such an improvement.
Well, certainly we've covered a lot in the course. We've gone from astronomy to athletics to politics to nature and environment. We've been very pleased and blessed to have Jen McManamy, the chairperson of the Theater Road Pathway Project, Gregory Trush, a village trustee, and both are intimately involved with students. Jen is a parent, and Greg, who also volunteers out at the school. This has been Community Matters. I'm your host, Jim McClure, wishing you a great afternoon and a blessed week ahead.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Support for WGTD comes from Piasecki Outhouse. Since 1931, Piasecki Outhouse has provided unmatched, compassionate service and are dedicated to your family, guests, and supporting the community. Piasecki Outhouse Funeral Home, honoring personal legacies and the circle of life. 262-658-4101.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the annual Mark Reimer Tribute Concert will be performed by the Lake County Symphony Orchestra and the Mark Reimer Jazz Ensemble Saturday evening, April 21st at the Village Church of Gurnee. Tickets at lakecountysymphonyorchestra.com.
Support for WGTD comes from Carthage College, welcoming environmental policy expert Barry Rabe to campus for a public presentation at 7 p.m. on April 10th. His new book, Can We Price Carbon?, offers hope for a practical solution to climate change, out